Venture said. If we win, you'll swear fealty to me. Fatren frowned, stopping in the street. Ash fell around him. So that's it. You saunter in before a fight, claiming to be some high lord so you can take credit for our victory? Why should I swear fealty to a man I only met a few minutes before? Because if you don't, Venture said quietly, I'll just take command anyway. Then he continued to walk. Fatren stood for a moment. Then he rushed forward and caught up to Venture. Oh, I see. Even if we survive this battle, we'll end up ruled by a tyrant. Yes, Venture said. Fatren frowned. He hadn't expected the man to be so blunt. Venture shook his head, regarding the city through the falling ash. I used to think that I could do things differently, and I still believe that I'll be able to some day. But for now, I don't have a choice. I need your soldiers, and I need your city. My city? Fatren asked, frowning. Why? Venture held up a finger. We have to survive this battle first, he said. We'll get to other things later. Fatren paused and was surprised to realize that he did trust the stranger. He couldn't have explained exactly why he felt that way. This was simply a man to follow, a leader such as Fatren had always wanted to be. Venture didn't wait for Fatren to agree to the conditions. It wasn't an offer, but an ultimatum. Fatren hurried to catch up again as Venture entered the small square in front of the city gates. Soldiers bustled about. None of them wore uniforms. Their only method of distinguishing a captain from a regular soldier was a red band tied around the arm. Venture hadn't given them much time to gather, but then they all knew the city was about to be attacked. They had been gathered anyway. Time is short, Venture repeated in a loud voice. I can teach you only a few things, but they will make a difference. Kolos range in size from small ones that are about 5 feet tall to the huge ones, which are about 12 feet tall. However, even the little ones are going to be stronger than you are. Expect that. Fortunately, the creatures fight without coordination between individuals. If a Kolos's comrade is in trouble, he won't bother to help. They attack directly, without guile, and try to use blunt force to overwhelm. Don't let them. Tell your men to gang up on individual Kolos. 2 men for the small ones, 3 or 4 for the big ones. We won't be able to maintain a very large front, but that will keep us alive the longest. Don't worry about creatures that get around our line and enter the city. We'll have the civilians hidden at the very back of your town, and the Kolos who bypass our line might turn to pillaging, leaving others to fight alone. That's what we want. Don't chase them down into the city. Your families will be safe. If you're fighting a big Kolos, attack the legs. Bring it down before you go for the kill. If you're fighting a small one, make certain your sword or spear doesn't get caught in their loose skin. Understand that Kolos aren't stupid. They're just unsophisticated. Predictable. They'll come at you the easiest way possible and attack only in the most direct manner. The most important thing for you to understand is that they can be beaten. We'll do it today. Don't let yourselves become intimidated. Fight with coordination, keep your heads, and I promise you that we will survive. The soldier captains stood in a small cluster looking at Venture. They didn't cheer at the speech, but they did seem a little more confident. They moved off to pass on Venture's instructions to their men. Fatren approached the Emperor quietly. If your count is correct, they outnumber us 5 to 1. Venture nodded. They're bigger, stronger, and better trained than we are. Venture nodded again. We're doomed, then. Venture finally looked at Fatren, frowning, black ash dusting his shoulders. You're not doomed. You have something they don't, something very important. What's that? Venture met his eyes. You have me.
My lord Emperor,
a voice called from atop the bulwark.
Kolos sighted.
They already called to him first, Fatrin thought. Fatrin wasn't certain whether to be insulted or impressed. Venture immediately jumped up to the top of the bulwark, using his allomancy to cross the distance in a quick bound. Most of the soldiers stooped, or hid behind the top of the fortification, keeping a low profile despite the distance of their enemies. Venture, however, stood proud in his white cape and uniform, shading his eyes, squinting toward the horizon. "They're setting up camp," he said, smiling.
"Good. Lord Fatrin, prepare the men for an assault."
"An assault?" Fatrin asked, scrambling up behind Venture. The Emperor nodded.
"The Kolos will be tired from marching and will be distracted by making camp. We'll never have a better opportunity to attack them."
"But we're on the defensive."
Venture shook his head.
"If we wait, they'll eventually whip themselves into a blood frenzy, then come against us. We need to attack rather than just wait to be slaughtered."
"And abandon the bulwark?"
"The fortification is impressive, Lord Fatrin, but ultimately useless. You don't have the numbers to defend the entire perimeter, and the Kolos are generally taller and more stable than men. They'll just take the bulwark from you, then hold the high ground as they push down into the city."
"But..."
Venture looked at him. His eyes were calm, but his gaze was firm and expectant. The message was simple. "I am in charge now." There would be no more arguing.
"Yes, my lord," Fatrin said,
calling over messengers to pass the orders. Venture stood watching as the messenger boys dashed off. There seemed to be some confusion among the men. They weren't expecting to attack. More and more eyes turned toward Venture, standing tall atop the bulwark. He really does look like an emperor, Fatrin thought, despite himself. The orders moved down the line. Time passed. Finally, the entire army was watching. Venture pulled out his sword and held it high in the ash-scattered sky. Then he took off down the bulwark in an inhumanly quick dash, charging toward the Kolos camp. For a moment, he ran alone. Then, surprising himself, Fatrin gritted his teeth against shaking nerves and followed. The bulwark exploded with motion, the soldiers charging with a collective yell, running toward death with their weapons held high. Holding the power did strange things to my mind. In just a few moments, I became familiar with the power itself.